So again, pastor already told me this doesn't go well. It's all on me. That's why he wanted me to get up and say something. So it's all on me. So there we go. So if it doesn't go well, you'll know what it's all about. Again, that handout you've got, we're going to be using that for today. The reason we're using that handout today is just so we can, I want to get this information to you at the beginning of this. So if you have questions or thoughts or anything that you might have as we go throughout this conference, you can kind of get with me and maybe ask some questions or some things about different things. And feel free to any time to ask me questions about the journey we took, the things that we did, especially about the adoption of our children and all that went into that. So you can please let me know about those things. We got our schedule up here. Just want to make sure everybody knows that we'll be starting at 9 a.m. Tomorrow with our first session. We have Brother Casillas preaching for us at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. He gets that. He gets to kick everything off tomorrow. So looking forward to that. So make sure you set your alarms tomorrow morning. If I haven't said it yet, welcome you. And I appreciate you taking the time to be out for this and putting the effort in all that goes into these kind of things. We're going to begin tonight as we normally would with the reading of God's Word. That's what this is all based on. We are here based on God's Word. This is going to be more of a presentation this evening. And I'll tell you this is not my cup of tea. I am a preacher, not a presenter. But at the same time, there's sometimes it calls for that. So that's what we're going to do this evening is see that, see these things. So if you're able to take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 18, we're going to look at just one verse to get us started this evening. We will be moving around a little bit, so keep your Bible handy with you. I don't claim to know anything. All I claim to have is the Word of God. So that's what we're going to use for this, and that's what we should use. That's what everything, every sermon should be based on the Word of God. Every sermon or presentation that's done in the house of God should be based on the Word of God. So that's absolutely what we're going to do. In Genesis chapter 18, look in verse number 14. Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. I'm going to ask Brother Caldwell if you'd open us in prayer, please, brother.
Father, we come before you tonight. We're so very thankful for the Word of God and the promises contained in it. We're thankful for you, the God who is ever steady, never changing, and that we can put our confidence, our full faith, and trust that have the potential to distract us, and that we would be wholly focused on your Word and what's to be done here tonight for this very important work. And we commit all these things to you, and I ask you, please be with those who speak tonight, Brother Teeter and Brother Varghese, and I pray, Father, that you would just bless this time in your Word, and we ask all these things in your Son's precious, holy, and wonderful name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sarah. It's God's Word. You may be seated. This conference has borne the name the Lonely Road Conference, and it's borne that name for many different reasons. As I prayed about the name for this, that's exactly what it felt like to me, you know, as my wife and I navigated the journey to our children that we have today, and it was a winding road. I'll tell you that now. It had all sorts of twists and turns to it as we went along. And this conference has come about through the testimony of my wife and I. And I first began praying about this idea of trying to help those dealing with the situation of my wife and I before we ever had children. Actually started in 2015 was when I made the first phone call to my pastor going, hey, what do you think about this crazy idea that I've got? I'm not sure anybody's ever done anything like this, but what do you think about it? And he instantaneously said, hey, whatever you think, brother. He said, if this is something that God's laid on your heart, we'll absolutely back you, whatever that may mean, whatever that you need. So that's when I began laying my heart out and began praying about it. And from that moment, I laid out my desire. He was supportive for anything I needed, and it's been a few years since God laid this on my heart, and I really desired, and this was my desire, this is John Teeter's desire, I really desired for somebody else to do it. That's what I really wanted to do. Whenever you get a burden on your heart, you want somebody else to take it. So I thought, you know, if I wait long enough, somebody else will do this, and I can just, man, yeah, you know, I've been thinking about that forever. I'm so glad you're doing this. And 7 years later, nobody's done it yet. So then I've got to take the ball and run with it. Somebody else didn't get their heart right. What the problem ends up being is somebody else got their heart right. I wouldn't have to be doing this right now. I'd be up in front of you. I could be out there listening to them do these things. I'm much more comfortable than I am right now. But that hasn't happened. So here we are this evening, beginning what has become known as the Lonely Road Conference. And I want to begin all by thanking all those who have come out in support of these efforts and those who have come out to be able to be supported by these efforts. I appreciate you very much and taking the time to be here. And our desire is to give some truth, some information, some help that might assure your heart that God does have a plan. But more than that, to cement in your mind that as a couple, you are not alone in this journey. You are not alone in the road that you're going down, the things that you're dealing with. You are not alone in dealing with these things. There are many people out there that are going through the same thing you are. And many times with this type of thing, it's so personal. I can attest to that. It's just so personal that sometimes it's hard to express that to other people. It's hard to talk about what you're dealing with because it is such a personal nature to yourself, whether it be infertility, whether it be miscarriages, whether it be those kind of things. It is so personal, and yet it happens to so many that deal with these kind of things. So you get almost the feeling you're the only one that's going through it because we don't talk about it. And I understand it's a complicated subject that has many different layers to it that sometimes makes it hard to talk about. We want to give those things alone. We want to give those things so you can kind of see this as we go along through this conference. Hopefully you'll be able to see where our desire is for these things. You'll be hearing from Brother Sam Varghese right after I get done here. You'll be hearing from him. He and his wife waited almost 17 years for their son Isaac, who's with us tonight. Waited almost 17 years for their son. You're going to hear from Brother Casillas. Brother Casillas, I want to add an L in there, brother, every time. So I'm going to add an L in there. I know that it's in there, but you don't say it. So I'm going to use it because it's there. It's not supposed to, but it's there. So I'm going to use it. Brother Casillas and his wife Lucy have 5 children, but their road to parenthood wasn't just smooth sailing. They had some complications along the way. So he's going to be preaching for us tomorrow morning. And then to end our conference, we say the best for last. And that's my pastor, Pastor Merrick. He and his wife have 4 children. And he has a huge heart for this topic. I appreciate that. And I look forward to him speaking on serving while waiting as well. I am tasked this evening of giving you the broccoli of the conference. That's what I'm going to call this anyways. This is the broccoli of the conference. This is all the little stuff that we need to understand, the information, all that. That's kind of my topic. Everybody else just gets to preach. I'm very jealous of that. That's why I gave myself 2 spots, because I was like, I'm not just giving the broccoli and not going to have an opportunity to preach. So I was able to give myself 2 spots to get some preaching in as well. And the reason we're kicking this off is so you have if you have questions about this, about the handout or about these kind of things we're going to talk about, maybe you can feel free to ask us about those things as we go through this. And we want to lay out this mission. We have given the conference a 3-fold mission to it. We have established the topics of each session to deal with a different aspect of the journey to becoming parents. So the first 3 things we're going to talk about, the first one we're going to talk about, we want to educate. And we want to give the conference, we want to provide information on the adoption process, the great need for adoption that's in our nation right now. There's a tremendous need for adoption in our nation and around the world. For that matter, you may have read some things about this recently, about all the things going on in Russia or Ukraine right now. And there's some children over there that have been adopted and they can't even get to the States because of everything going on and just the heartache that brings to it. That's been highlighted here recently. So there's a great need for adoption. There's a great need for foster care. There's a tremendous need for foster care that we'll get into this evening as well. We need to get God's perspective on adoption. I've been adopted by God. God adopted me. Amen. He adopted me. I was not his child, and he made me his child through salvation, through the blood of his dear, precious son, his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross of Calvary. He made me one of his children, because trust me, I wasn't one of them. He chose to adopt me, which is it was an amazing thing all to itself. So we get the picture of adoption from God himself. While man has made it to use for himself, we definitely get the picture of adoption from God through the scriptures. We're going to talk about infertility and where to begin with that. We're going to talk about doctors, how and when and to what extent to use doctors, how to process the pain of miscarriages, and how to process that pain, how to deal with that and continue to keep yourself encouraged through those things, which leads us to our second topic, which is going to be encouragement, to provide encouragement, to know that, again, that you're not alone in this journey you're on. You're not by any means alone. Many people have dealt with these kind of things, and to take away the stigma and loneliness of infertility, to give some helps in coping with the emotional and physical pain of childbirth, because it does bring both. It is mentally draining, and it's also there's also some this physical pain of going through all that it transpires to get to the place where you can have children. There's a physical pain on your part. I can remember emotional, physical pain of watching my wife deal with not having children. Emotional and physical pain of that over 18 years is there. The bitterness that comes along with that and the recognition of how to process that bitterness. Take that bitterness into yourself and process it. And then encourage husbands and wives to love and live while you're waiting. Because if this is a long process, you've got to learn to love and live each other as you're waiting on these things. And the third point of our conference is to enlighten, to shine light on infertility in God's Word. Highlight infertility in the Scriptures to reveal God always has a plan for everything that happens in this world. It's not a mistake that you're going through these things. God's there to carry you through these things. We want you to understand that today. I didn't really set a theme for the conference. I set a title for the conference in the Lonely Road, but I didn't really set a theme for the conference. That just kind of came about naturally, as I think it usually is the best way for it to happen, is to kind of organically come as we pray, as the men you asked to preach, begin to pray about it, and you kind of see the topics begin to develop. But what we're going to really dive into, or I guess the theme of it, would be prayer and patience, or prayer and persistence in these things, and you'll certainly see that. And those are really our best allies. As we're waiting for God to move, those are our best allies. And I want to share with you personally some mistakes and blessings I found in that. I want to tell you this, first of all, I did not do everything perfect. Okay? On my journey to becoming the father I am today, I did not do everything perfect. There were some things that could have done better and would do differently today. And we want to talk about a few of those things as we go along here. So we want to talk about dealing with infertility. You know, my wife and I got married at 19. That seems forever ago. Not for her, she's still young. But for me, that seems like a very long time ago. And there was a desire to start a family, as every married couple would. There's a desire to start a family. I wanted to be a father. There was two things I wanted. I wanted to be a father and I wanted a long marriage. I know those are two things that are real popular in our day today, but those are two things that I wanted. You say, you wanted to be a father and have a long marriage at 19 years old. Yes, I can be 100% honest with you tonight. That's what I wanted. Well, you can't have a long marriage if you don't get married young. So I thought, hey, this is how you do this. You get married young. And thankfully, I found a woman who thought the same way I did. At least she seemed to, because she said yes. So she may have regretted that afterwards, but she said yes. And so we got married at 19, and when we did not have a child for the first few years, we just thought this will take some time. Man, nothing wrong. This will just take some time. We weren't necessarily wanting children immediately. We thought it'd be all right if we waited a little while. But then the years began to pile up on top of each other. And we began to think, okay, well, maybe there is an issue here. You don't really think there might be an issue at 19. You're not really thinking about that, but in our mid-20s, we began to think there may be a problem here. After 4, 5, 6 years of marriage, we thought, you know, there may be something wrong here. There may be something that's keeping us from having the children that we desire. And we consulted some people, especially in her family, to see if there was any conception problems in her family. We did find out there were some issues that had arisen in her family. And so we kind of understood that there might be some issues there. So we consulted, we found out that there had been some issues. But through the help of doctors, they had finally been able to have her mother had been able to have two children. And so we saw that, you know, this obviously wasn't impossible because she was born. So we thought, hey, obviously it's possible, at least for mom anyways it was. And we went to see a doctor and had all the tests done. And that's one of the most overwhelming times in your life is when you're waiting for a doctor to tell you What is restraining you from fulfilling your dreams? Oh, come on. That is a little overwhelming for you to endure that moment, endure those things, to wait for that. When the doctor returned, the doctor said there was nothing stopping us from having children. Come on, this is the part that's even worse, is there's nothing stopping you from having children, but the prospects were hindered of us having children. It's like, thanks, doc. Appreciate that. That's a lot of help. Doctors are fantastic. So they came back in and said, you know, there's nothing that's stopping you, but it is a hindered process you're going to have. So, you know, just keep doing what you're doing and see what happens. Okay, appreciate that. That's extremely helpful for us. So you come back to the place where you say this, where do we begin? That's the process. You gotta have a beginning point somewhere where you go, okay, well now what are we gonna do? We've acknowledged there may be a problem here. We've acknowledged there may be some issues that are restraining us from having the children that we desire. And, one of the things that you'll find as you navigate this road, navigate these things, is exactly how big this is. How big a problem this is. How paramount this is to your life, to your walk with God. If you want to turn, it's in your books on your next page. If you want to turn over in your Bibles, you can over in Proverbs chapter 30 to look at it there. You can just read it on your sheets there. Over in Proverbs chapter 30, we find this in verse number 15. I don't think there's anything wrong with the wording that's in your booklet, but I know this, the Word of God's right. So we'll just read it out of God's Word. Over in Proverbs chapter 30, look down in verse number 15. Look down there, verse number 15, about halfway down there. It says, there are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say not, it is enough. The grave and the barren womb. So the Bible recognizes this is a problem. Oh, come on, amen. You can amen with me there. I know it's a presentation, you can amen with it. It's okay. It's amen. The Bible recognizes this problem. As a matter of fact, it has a lot to say about this. A lot to say about these kind of things. How to know that you have a problem, just because things don't happen quickly doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Praise the Lord. That doesn't mean it's not just because that didn't happen in the first 6 months, the first year. And one thing I know about doctors is this, is the human body is complex. And there is not much, there is much that we do not understand about conception and the issues that restrain, hamper, or stop a couple from conceiving. There's just a lot that the doctors do not understand at this point. And the first place to begin, as we said the topic was, prayer and perseverance, is just praying. But I want to help you out here. I want you, if you're thinking about this, you're hampered by these things, please pray as a couple. Oh, come on. Pray as a couple. Get together and pour your heart out. We're going to talk a few ways how that will help you if you'll pray as a couple to carry each other's burdens. To carry the burden of not having children for each other. Husband carrying the burden for the wife. Wife carrying the burden for the husband. Because it's very much both of you dealing with these things. Talk to your pastor. Add your name to the prayer list. Add it as an unspoken prayer request if you choose to do so. Or add it there if you're so inclined. Have discussions about, as a couple, about how God is leading. How do you feel? It's amazing how two people who live together have such a paramount thing in their life and never talk about it. Never talk about these kind of things. Discuss the struggles you are having and the emotions you are feeling. Find those, and this is part of what this conference is about, find those who have dealt with your issue you're dealing with and discover the helps and the blessings along the path to parenthood you're looking for. This, you're not the first one to navigate this, I can promise. But many before you. So find those help. Find people you can rely on. And this is what part of this is about, is giving that network of support that we can find to help each other out. I can promise you those who have in your life, whether it be your pastor or others, have absolute 100% desire to help you. They want to help you. They may not understand the complexity of what you're dealing with, and they may have never dealt with these things, but there are people in your life that want to help you. And I would encourage those pastors who may be listening, or those people here who have those in their life that are there, man, be supportive of them. Don't be scared of it. Talk to people about it. Talk to people about what they're dealing with and if there's any way they can help. And, hey, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you in these things. I want to be here for you. I want to be here for in this time that you're going through. And the wonderful blessing that is what about doctors? The fantastic blessing that is doctors. The uncomfortable place of doctors is this. Infertility is a test of faith, patience, and the ability to communicate with each other as a couple. Doctors should be viewed, and I can't stress this point enough, doctors should be viewed as a place of illustration, a place of information. Amen. That's what it should be viewed as. I'm going to go to the doctor to get information on what we're going through. I can still remember today, this very moment, like it was yesterday. I can remember the first appointment Angela and I went to dealing with infertility. I can still remember it like it was yesterday. I remember walking into this place and that very first visit. And when we walked in there, I can remember the doctor that we had at that time. We did not go back. The doctor we had at that time. And I can remember her making it feel like I was the enemy to my wife. I can literally remember this in my mind. I can recall every single moment of it. That I was somehow the enemy to my wife. Like we were here because she's got a problem. There's nothing wrong with me, of course. That's why she made it sound. Here's this guy bringing his wife because there's a problem conceiving. It's got to be his wife. And I mean, it stirred up some things. I mean, I'll be honest with you. It stirred up some things. It was not a good experience with that. But when we went through that experience, we didn't stop there. We continued on with fertility. Not that doctor. But we went to some other doctors and began, again, looking at that, trying to find the information about what we're dealing with here. You know, what is the problem? What is restraining us? What is going on in these things? And of course, there's, and either one, the husband or the wife, can be an issue that sometimes is fixed with a simple diet change or some medication or some fertility medication if you choose to go down that road. And so the truth is usually there's nothing wrong with information. Amen. There's nothing wrong with information. Doesn't mean you have to use it. Doesn't mean you have to do what the doctor says. There's usually nothing wrong with information. And you do have the opportunity. Oh, come on, please. Please. Can you get this tonight? Especially if you're dealing with doctors with infertility. Please understand, you can say, no, we're not doing that. Right. It's fine. They're a doctor. Okay? They're not God. Although they think they are. Many times, they're not. So you can tell them no. Hey, I appreciate the information. We're going to pray about that. We'll get back with you. And move on to a different direction or a different way. A big part of this conference is to show that infertility is not an isolated problem or something to be ashamed of, but to find those things that can help you and help you through these kind of things and help you through these moments and help you navigate the doctors and what you do with the information that you find is absolutely between you and your God, between you. That's what you do. And many times you can have family and friends that may be well-meaning. They may be well-meaning, but they can discourage you. They can. Some of them will say things like, well, some of them that will give you information or give you ideas about what you should do. But faith is where all of our hope and trust must rely. We have got to rely upon God through these things. We have got to listen to Him. We've got to be driven by Him and say, no, I'm going to keep my faith in God. I may use doctors, but I'm going to keep my faith in my God to make sure I'm grounded in Him and absolute confident in what He's giving to me or what He wants me to do. In Hebrews 11:1, now, most of you probably know that this evening, so I'll just quote it for you. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's where we're living, friends. You may not have the children that you desire right now, but that doesn't mean you can't have those children in the future. It doesn't mean you can't continue to trust in God. You know, there are those who will say, you should have faith and not bring doctors into the equation of conception. There'll be those who say that, and if that's your choice, by all be it. We are independent Baptists. Do your thing, man. Go for it. You can have that. If you want to have that thing, you can have that thing. There's another flip side of that. Those who say, do whatever the doctor says. After all, they're the expert. Generally leans one or two directions there. Don't bring him in at all or bring him in and trust him for everything. And the truth is generally found somewhere in between those two, as it generally does. But one thing I want you to remember in this, as you're navigating this process, you're waiting for the child that God would have you to have, and this is true, by the way, for anything that you go through, whether it's a sickness or a disease or some other thing. Understand this, that bringing a child in the world is not like curing a cold or dealing with an illness. The procedures produced by man to aid in the conception of a child need to be prayed through. I would encourage you anytime you go to the doctor or anytime you put any medication in your body to pray through it before you just do it, not just to blindly follow it and say, we'll just blindly do whatever the doctor says. I would encourage you to maybe pray about it just a little bit. You know, the side effects and complication need to be understood. I can say this about my wife and I, and anything I say from this pulpit about what my wife and I did is completely what my wife and I did. I'm not telling you what to do. Amen. I'm trying to give you some helps. I'm trying to give things maybe you should avoid, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you, follow this path and do these things. My wife and I went to the doctors. My wife took some fertility drugs. My wife, God bless her, she went to the doctors. She found out what needed to be done, what the doctors told her needed to be done for us to, what they looked at as conceiving a child. And she went through everything. I mean, she did so much for us to be able to have a child and doing what the doctor said. We went back to the doctor after she had done everything they asked her to do. And they said, well, you need to take this medication. We need to see something. And I watched my wife lay on a couch for a week in almost the fetal position. It was awful. I just want to be honest with you tonight. It was awful. And we began to pray about this and going, okay, God, you know, this is not good. We can't continue doing this. This isn't going to work. And the side effects of the fertility drug that she took, or the drugs that she took on my wife, were absolutely troublesome for both of us. And we looked at that and said, you know what? This may not be the road for us. Just telling you. We looked at that and said, this is not going to be the road for us. Not that it's not the road for you, not that it's not what you should do, but we looked at it and said, this isn't the road for us to go down. We don't know what God's plan is. We just know this isn't it for us. God closed that door for us, made it abundantly clear that he closed that door we went through. We prayed about it. We didn't just close the door. We prayed about it and looked at God and said, okay, what does God want us to do here? And we said, look, this is not the direction for our lives, for us to have children. This is not the direction for us to do this. And you can see in the scriptures, you'll find that there were six couples that found trouble in conception. This will actually be on the page that we were actually. It should be back one page. There we go. Infertilities in the scriptures. There are six couples found in the scriptures that had troubles in conception. Of course, those are listed there for you. You can look at those. But go and turn over to 1 Samuel chapter number 1. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. One of the things I love about God's Word, and I love a lot about God's Word, one of the things I love is just how real the Bible is. It pulls nothing back. It gives us everything. It gives us the good, the bad, the indifferent. It gives us everything about it. And one of those scriptures that I love that's recorded for us is Hannah and Elkanah here when it says this in verse number 8. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 8. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? I'm going to be honest with you. I love that. That's fantastic. It's awful, but it's fantastic all at the same time. Come on, it's awful. Frying pan to the head at this moment. Who do you think you are to tell me this? I still wonder what her reaction was at that moment. I never said that to my wife during when we were dealing with these things. I wasn't brave enough to do that. But I always wondered, you know, what was Elkanah thinking when those words were coming out of his mouth, as he's, you know, you probably said something sometime and you thought, I would really like to reel that back in, reel those words back in. I wonder if he didn't think that, especially after he saw the look on his wife's face, of the absolute disdain that she must have had for him at that moment. But I love how God's Word shows the mountaintop moments and the moments when you say, what were you thinking saying that? I'd encourage you to go read that full context sometimes. Most of you may be familiar with it. That is quoted here. But I love, Elkanah loved Hannah so much, and he desired so badly to give her the desire of her heart. He was trying to show her, and I really believe this is what he was trying to show her. He tried to show her that his love for her was not based on her giving him children. That's what he's trying to say there in that context. He does a terrible job of saying it. But that's what he's trying. I love you. I love you even though you can't give me children. I love you. He was giving her a double portion. I think in my mind, he was probably giving her as much as he was his other wife and all their children, her children put together. He was probably giving that much to Hannah. Saying, I love you no matter what happens. I love you. In these things, no matter what happens, if you have children or not, I love you. That's what he's trying to say. Come on, man. Sometimes we have good intentions. We just don't say it very well. We just don't express it very well in the way that we say these things. He tried to show he loved her. And he comes to the place finally, and I believe this probably was born out of frustration a little bit. What do I do for my wife? What can I do for her? I was there many times in our journey. Like, what, Lord, what can I do? What can I do to help her with this? I am powerless to have any effect in this or change this circumstances. Men, it is overwhelming. Come on, let me say this. It should be overwhelming to desire something so much for your wife and not be able to provide for her the desire of her heart. It should be burdensome to us. It should be something that makes us hit our knees and pray about it and say, God, help me to help her. Help me to be encouraged so I can help her. Help me to understand what I need to do and help her, me to help her. Don't allow waiting for something you desire to hinder your marriage and make you question the Lord's or his intentions for the desires of your life. Let's look at another couple. Look over in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter number 1. We find another couple in Luke chapter 1 had a very different experience in these things. I think they probably waited much longer than Elkanah and Hannah. I think they probably waited much longer by what the text tells us. We find these two in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 6. Talking about Zacharias and Elizabeth here, it says this in verse number 6. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord, blameless. That's a mighty tall testimony right there of these two, of what they're saying. In verse number 7, and they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. Here you have two people who were serving God, who served God apparently most of their lives, blameless before God, but it said they were missing something in their life. They were missing something they couldn't have, but yet they were continuing to serve the Lord while they were waiting for God to bless them. They just continue serving the Lord. I love that, friends. I love that they just continued serving God in the place that they were in. So that brings us to this tonight, How do we process this? How do we go about these kind of things? And one of those options you're going to have is the adoption process. Is the process of adoption. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this because you've got all the information before you. You can look at it yourself and go over those things. But I just want to take a couple moments to highlight a couple of things here. And again, we're going to move pretty quickly through this because, again, you can read all these things and I really don't have a lot to add to it other than what's here. But what I would like you to think about is, would you consider adoption as an option for you? As an option for you. The first place to start is prayer, prayer, and lots and lots and lots of more prayer. Pray about it. This was not the first option my wife and I went to. As a matter of fact, we prayed about adoption and God never opened the door for us. I'll get more of our testimony of exactly how all these things came about on tomorrow morning. But my wife and I almost literally had two children drop out of the sky into our laps, and God just gave them to us. I'll explain what that means tomorrow, but that's literally just about what happened. We found about the existence, literally the existence of Matthew and Abigail on June 14th, and June 28th they were born. 2 weeks' time, from the time we found out about them to the time they were born, is how long we had to prepare for this. We've been preparing for it for 18 years. Prepare for the actual moment of having children. So it was on the grace of God that these things weren't together. And I'm amazed, but I'm not surprised. Because God can do all things. I was talking to Brother Holmes this week, and he allowed me the grace to be able to share this with you. Brother Holmes' parents had, he and his brother, and then his parents went through a very troubling time. Brother Holmes, of course, a missionary that Calvary supports in Ukraine. He's home right now, but in Ukraine. And Brother Holmes' parents had trouble in conceiving after they had two children. But they had this desire to have more children than what God had given to them. God had restrained them from having any more. They went through all kinds of things to get to those more children that they desired. And finally, the doctors came to them and said, this isn't going to happen. This isn't going to happen naturally for you. Well, they ended up adopting two daughters. They're growing now. They adopt two daughters. And that was not an easy process for them either. They adopted, I can tell you about all the circumstances of it later on, but they adopted two young girls. And they, through that process, they found what they were looking for to complete their lives. They just had something inside that said, we're not done yet. What I'm saying is this, consider adoption. Come on, consider adoption even if you have children. Consider, if God would so choose to for you to do that. I'm not saying just go adopt 10 kids. I'm not saying that. If God lays it on your heart, go for it. If you're wanting to add to your family, there's nothing wrong, especially if you're in the waiting process. And you think, I'm not giving up on what God desires for that, but you know what? We could adopt a child. and continue to have a child of our own. One of the things that stops you from adopting children is just the process. And in that booklet today, you'll find some of the things that are in there that might help you. The number one thing that stops people from adopting is the home study. Come on, you invite someone in your house and ask them to judge you worthy of having a child, given your home. That is overwhelming, friends. Okay? That will overwhelm you. Just the thought of it. Just the thought of it still today, and I've been through it, overwhelms me. Today, I'm still thinking about it, going, I don't know. I don't know about this. I'll invite somebody in my home. I don't know about that. That in and of itself stops more people than anything else from going through the adoption. They find out the first thing you find out when you're going to adopt is you got to do a home study. You literally can't do anything else in the adoption process until you do the home study. You can't proceed any farther in the adoption process until a home study is done. They're not even going to talk to you about it until that is done. And there's good reason for that. Amen. You shouldn't be placing children in places that don't in a environment that's not healthy for them. But what's one of the things you want to understand is the people who do the home studies, and once we actually got into the middle of it, had them in our home, it was like, okay, these people had seen everything. Our home was refreshing. So the lady that came in and did it, she was like, praise the Lord. I don't have to deal with all the normal stuff I get to deal with. So it was a blessing to be able to go through that. But I understand it stops a lot of people from going through it. It really does. Stops those things. There are a couple different ways that you can adopt. One of those ways is adoption agencies. You can go through, you can read this for yourself. I won't go through a lot of it. There's a lot of information there for you to unpack. But you can absolutely use an adoption agency. That's usually how most people get newborns, is going through an agency. They can get a newborn that way. I'll tell you this, if you go through an agency, it's going to be about $15,000 to $45,000 to adopt a child. And that's what stops most people from adopting, because it just stops them right there. Well, we don't have $45,000 to adopt a child. It's a lot less expensive than that. Trust me, that's just what they're going to tell you as you get started. That's what it's going to cost you. As you get down to it, you can find much other ways to be able to get those things down. One of the other things that I really would like you to consider, and something that's really on my heart, is that of foster care. Foster care is a huge thing in our nation today. Absolutely huge thing in our nation today. There are around 1,600 children in the portal to be adopted in Missouri alone right now. At this very moment, 1,600 children. There are 117,000 children in America today waiting to be adopted or in foster care in the process of being adopted. If you can even get your mind wrapped around that. Now, there's a lot of things in your booklet tonight you got to think about before you go down the foster care road. I'm going to be honest with you there. There's a lot of things to consider before you go down that road. Come on, it will be a blessing to you, and it's much needed. But always understand, it's a road. It's a journey. We've got some information in the back of your booklets there. We've got some people you can contact, email, that have gone through that process that would be happy to talk to you about foster care. My wife and I did not do foster care, but I've absolutely counseled people who have, and I'd be love to share that with you. If you were interested in doing something like that, I would absolutely be willing to share that with you. You know, in the adoption process, my wife and I adopted, and we didn't use an agency. Of course, our babies basically found us. That's what I say. You say, well, they were infants. How'd they find you? They weren't even born yet. They found us. God brought them to us in the way that he did. And we adopted completely through an attorney. You can contact an attorney and find out about the adoption process in your area. You can contact a social worker in your area. They'd be happy to talk to you about adoption. And foster care would love to talk to you about those things. One of the areas that many people, because they desire something so much, and I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of children in foster care that have special needs. If God were to move you to adopt a special needs child, praise the Lord. They are special. They really are. Oh, come on. I'm not using that as a pun. They are special. They are some of the sweetest people you'll meet in your life, some of the sweetest kids you'll meet in your life. But that is a road that I will tell you to tread down cautiously. Make sure you pray about it. Sometimes we get so overwhelmed in wanting a child, at some point we just go, I'll just take any child. This is the one I can have. Okay, I'm going that direction. And unfortunately, there are a lot of children in foster care today that are dealing with Down syndrome and other kind of things because parents just can't take care of them, so they give them up for adoption or they give them up to foster care because of those things. Just be careful in those things. When you're dealing with these things, one of the things you want to always consider is birth parents. You want to consider that before you go down that road. There's a few different ways that you can adopt. It's closed adoption. The identity of the birth father and mother are completely sealed. You don't know who they are. There's open adoption that says that you'll know who the parents' identity are. Now, you want to make sure you're in control of that narrative and how much contact the birth parents have with your children. Make sure you're in control of that. Make sure you're in control of those things so it doesn't get you into trouble down the road. And always remember this. Turn back over to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. Again, we're packing in a lot of information here, and you have a lot of information, more information in your booklets that I would love for you to read and ask me questions about. And I'm going to try to give you some more information about exactly our process and how we got to the children we have. I'll give that to you tomorrow. But it says this in Genesis chapter 17, in verse number 17. And Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? Look back over in our beginning here, in verse number 14 of chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, verse number 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's the exact question that Abraham is asking back in chapter 17. This is too hard. That's not going to happen. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Remember to trust in the Lord. Trust in Him. Keep your confidence in Him. No matter what happens, He's literally the God who has control of everything in this world. And we need to trust in that. As a couple, you need to trust in that. Pray that way to your God with confidence in Him that God can bless the desires of your heart. If you know someone who would like, we've got these handouts. If you come across someone who would like one of these handouts, I would be happy to send them one of these. If you're like, hey, you know, someone who would like one of these handouts, this information, I'd be happy to send them one if they contact me. All of our contact information, including the church website, is on there. Mine is thepastorteeter@yahoo.com. You can contact me there. If you know somebody who wants more information, you can contact any of us. I would appreciate you contacting us, telling us about, hey, you know, this conference was really helpful, or I'd like some more information, or, hey, we're thinking about adopting. You have any counsel for us? We're thinking about these kind of things. Or we're really burdened about some things, in these things. So contact us through the church. And this is meant to be a blessing to you. We are here to help you. Please get with us and ask us questions about what you see in these things or what you think. Get with one of the speakers' wives. My wife or, Brother Casillas' wife or Brother Varhi's wife. Get with them, ladies, and talk to them. Say, how did you navigate this? How did you deal with these things? How did you deal with overcoming the nature that is infertility and child and the stress of that? Get with us. That's what we're here for, is to help you out with these things. If you're listening online, please email us or reach out to us. We would love to take some time to help you out or be there for you because we're giving you this information so you'll have it in the future, because we just want to help as many people as we can. That's been my desire. It's just to let people know, hey, you can strive through these things. You have a God that can take care of you if you absolutely just trust in Him. Let's pray.